Good morning.
Good morning.
To start off with, I'd like to welcome Pastor Dan Heine. He is here behind us. Dan, come on, please. He's from Fraser, Michigan, and he promised we wouldn't hold that against him. But he says he's not a Wolverine fan, correct?
Not a Spartan either.
Okay. So, he will be here again in 2 weeks on the 28th if you'd like to hear him preach again. Tomorrow is WMMZ for the women. 12 o'clock, a brown bag lunch at church. All ladies are welcome. Please, 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 don't let either Ginny or myself know if you are coming. We've had a few dropping out, so if you would like to come, we would love to have you. Please come and share lunch with us tomorrow, but let Ginny or I know. Swiss Steak is Thursday, September 25th. Coming up quickly, let Dave know. Where are you, Dave? Dave's right there. Let him know if you can help, if you haven't already. We can always use extra people there. There is a flyer out on the table. Please take the flyer and put it out into the community, your grocery store, the library, wherever you're going. We would appreciate all the advertisement we can get. We'd like a sellout. There are thank you cards in the back on the narthex table, one for Pastor Flagel and one for Pastor Kitchen. I thought it would be nice if we just signed a little card for them for all the times they have come to our church. I think they're going to have a second home here pretty soon. They come so often, but we'd like you to feel free to sign that in the back on the table. Potluck lunch on the 28th. Pastor Heine will be here with his wife. And we would like to make them feel welcome, and you can meet him and greet him more, get to know him. There's a sign-up sheet back on the bulletin board if you can make the potluck lunch. And please sign up for something, one of your favorites. And last but not least, thank you to Rick Farnsworth, Luke, Levi, and Adam. Thank you so much. You have to take, if you have not done already, take a walk down the breezeway and take a look out the door. We no longer have timbers there falling down into the sidewalk. It is beautiful stone. Still has a little bit of work to do, but it looks wonderful, so please take a look out there. Thank you so much for coming. I do hear that they have solved quite a few of the world's problems yesterday. Is that true? I've heard there was a lot of discussion about everything going on, and they solved quite a bit of them, so thank you for that also.
We were hoping you didn't have a speaker out there.
No, we didn't. We did record, had we known. We would have recorded it, but we didn't know. So thank you very much. And they had to put up with, we were here yesterday also, and they had to put up with us constantly looking at them and opening the door and making comments. So thank you very much for doing that. Are there any other announcements that I might have forgotten? Okay, thank you very much.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We have more than a few names on the prayer list. Donna requests prayers for Linda S. as well as Marjorie Miller. Dave has requested prayers for the Charlie Kirk family and continuation of his mission. Shelley is requesting prayers for Rick. And both Rick and Shelley are requesting prayers for Don Wiseman. My husband just had knee surgery, and the surgery was a success, but the pain level is ridiculous. But it's something you have to go through, right, John? He knows that because he had the one knee done, so he's totally bionic below the waist. Really sad, one of my former students, she's only 25 years old, her name is Alexis. Little John, I just found out that she has something that I've never heard of before called nut carcinoma. There are, to this point, there have been no survivors. The average rate of survival from the time of the diagnosis is 4 to 6 months, and it's been about 3 weeks. So please, Bob is going to do fine. He will appreciate your prayers, but particularly prayers for Alexis. Other names? Yes?
Our son David is going to have hip surgery, get a new hip on Friday.
Okay. I should know this, but I'm sorry, I don't, last name?
Gale.
Others? How about some good news? We gotta work on good news.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Very good news.
Very good news. Welcome, Pastor.
I had thought to write something down in advance, to a prayer to give for all of those petitions, and to be honest, I don't think I could have done it justice with by writing in advance. Heavenly Father, watch over those whom we've prayed for this morning. Help them with their pain or with their worries, and in your good time, bring them either healing and grace or into your heavenly kingdom. Amen. Join me with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I apologize. The church that I'm at, it's still trespassing. I will practice. I'll get it right in 2 weeks. Cross my mind. All things come of thee, O God.
And we have given a portion of that.
Our reading today is John chapter 6, verses 34 through 48. They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. Everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and anyone who comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. This is indeed the will of my Father, that all who see the Son and believe in him may have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day." Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They were saying, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets. And they shall all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died."
Good morning.
Good morning.
For those of you who haven't had a chance to meet me yet, aside from being told that I'm Pastor Dan, it's actually Dan Heine. I'm from, as Julie said, from Fraser, Michigan, which according to Google was 3 hours and 6 minutes from here, and it was exactly that long to get to your parking lot. I'm here at the request of your search committee to preach to you, give you a demonstration of my preaching style, and hopefully to give you a view of the strength of my calling. Your search committee invited me to preach after our Zoom meeting, our Zoom interview last week, and another interview yesterday in the Red Room. Still trying to figure out why it's called Red. I've been looking forward to addressing you today, to reach your hearts, and to share a piece of my faith with you all. My message today may be a little bit different than what you're used to. You see, the professor who stands before you often interjects a tiny taste of humor in his speeching. Mind you, I don't tell jokes from the pulpit, but I did once, and it flopped badly. It happened that it was on my 57th birthday. You know, and I talk about how long ago that was. I mentioned it was my birthday as I approached their pulpit, and there was a smattering of birthday greetings from the crowd, so to speak. And then I said, you know, just before my alarm went off this morning, I dreamed I was speaking with the Almighty. I said, Father, is it true that 1,000 years to mankind is only a second to you? And God said, yeah, Dan, I think that's about right. And I said, then would it follow that $1,000,000 to you would just be $1,000,000 to us would be like a penny to you? And he said, I suppose, yeah, that's about right. So I said, well, today's my birthday, as you well know. Can I have a penny? And the Lord God said, sure, Jan, sure, Dan, just a second. And no one got it there. Well, so I've decided maybe I should just keep it. In the name of God, the Father who created all that is, seen and unseen, of Jesus Christ, who redeemed us on the hardwood of the cross, and of the Holy Spirit, who has spoken through the prophets, sages, and even the theologians of our day, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart and my mind be always acceptable, my Lord, my strength, and my Redeemer. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to assume that there may be a little bit of, well, curiosity about me and my beloved wife, Carrie, who couldn't be here today. We're Michiganders, but forgive us. Neither of us is either a Michigan or a Michigan State fan. Although, a couple of years ago, I was interviewing at a church somewhere between Ann Arbor and East Lansing. And the last question they asked me, Dan, this last question is kind of a deal breaker. And I said, what's the question? Are you green or blue? So I opened my sport coat and revealed a maroon shirt with a block C on it. And I said, I'm neither, I'm maroon. Well, it turns out my wife and I are both Central Michigan alumni, Chippewas, if you will. And our daughter, who is an engineer in Hamburg, Germany, is also a CMU alumnus. And sometime in April of 2026, she's going to make Carrie and I grandparents. I'm so happy I could dance, if only I could dance. Both of our sons attended Eastern Michigan University, but nobody's perfect, right? So, back to our message today. The passage from Holy Scripture read so beautifully by Julie. Christ told the people of his day, and thanks to Holy Scripture, told us today in this holy place, that he is the bread of heaven, the bread of life. That title, if you put it next to King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the Good Shepherd, and the Son of God, might seem a little bit out of place. But I'm going to tell you, it is just as essential as those other titles that we attribute to Jesus. Christ, as we all know, came into our world to save sinners. Yes, you and me, and everyone who's come before us. A few chapters before the part of John that Julie read, we would have found John 3:16, probably the most famous part of the Bible in terms of our world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. I firmly believe that this is the most quoted piece of literature in the world. I've seen it at Ford Field, where the Lions kind of play.
I've seen it on three different televised Super Bowls, although none of them were in this century. I saw it at the Motor City Bowl in 2010 when my Chippewas beat Central Tennessee, or Middle Tennessee State, to win that Motor City Bowl. And I saw it once at Joe's Arena during a playoff game. People holding up signs. John 3:16. But Jesus, calling himself the bread of life, is probably more important to us as his believers. You see, to eat of this bread is to live the life that Christ came into our world to teach us. To eat of this bread is to learn how to love God with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, and all our strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. This bread is not for sandwiches. It is for a life of praise and thanksgiving for all the many gifts that our Heavenly Father has given us. So how does the Lord's Supper, which actually does include bread, fit into this? Throughout Christianity, the Lord's Supper and baptism are the two sacraments that most of Christianity accepts. I happened to listen to your August 24th homilist. He actually mentioned the Latin term for it, Eucharist, much more popular in the Roman Church and in the Episcopal Church. But of these two sacraments that have biblical orientation, at the Last Supper, Christ took bread and wine and offered to his friends and then commanded them, and through Holy Scripture commanded us, do this in memory of me. A couple of years ago, at the church that I currently serve, I preached that we did not become followers of Jesus Christ in the stable in Bethlehem. That was merely where he entered our world, born of the Virgin, and where he was made man. I firmly believe that we did not become followers of Jesus Christ when he calmed the storm on the Sea of Galilee, although the boater in me does have hold a special place for that miracle in my heart. I also believe that we didn't become followers of the Son of God at the wedding at Cana or at the feeding of the 5,000. Those were great works of power, no doubt about it. And I bet they got the attention of the 12 and probably made it easier to take first century Jews and convert them to be early Christians. But that's not when we became Christians. Standing here in this beautiful sanctuary, I can say without doubt that we did not become followers of Jesus when he flipped over the money changers' tables at the temple in Jerusalem. But the professor of economics and the money guy who stands before you does hold that one in some high esteem. Further, I do not believe that we became followers of Jesus when he raised his friend Lazarus from the dead. Although I bet it had a big impact on the witnesses and on his two sisters, Mary and Martha. Neither do I believe that we became followers of Jesus when he raised the daughter of Jairus, the Pharisee, from the dead in a house filled with weeping relatives and friends. On his way to that miracle, a woman touched Jesus' cloak, and he felt power escape from him, and he turned around and asked, "Who touched me?" And the woman admitted that she knew that if she could only touch his cloak, that she'd be healed. When he asked her why, that's not when we became followers of Jesus. And we didn't become followers when he commended her for her great faith, and she walked away healed and blessed. I firmly believe that we became Christians in the Garden of Gethsemane on Maundy Thursday, when our Lord prayed to his Father, "Father, these are not of this world, even though they are in this world." On that day, the 12th, and by extension, we were about to be invited to be followers of Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. with all that's in me. I believe that we became followers of Christ when he commended and commanded his disciples, do this in memory of me. About 30 years ago, the Reverend Vicar Ann Kramer, one of the first women ordained a priest in the Episcopal Church here in Michigan, up there in Michigan. My apologies. Sorry. Most of the time I practice this, but that was still cool. She preached with a copy of the Anglican Digest in her hand. She said, celebrate the Lord's Supper as if it were the first time. Well, if I do become your pastor, you have my solemn oath, my promise that I will never merely recite the prayers of the Lord's Supper, but I will celebrate the Lord's Supper as if it is the first time, every time I have the honor to do that. Vicar Ann went on to say, celebrate the Lord's Supper as if it would be the last time. Well, in our earthly life, we never know which time we celebrate that sacred meal will indeed be our last time. So we should treat it as if it is the holiest gift we can give to our Lord in obeying his command that we do that in remembrance of him. Then Vicar Ann went on to say, celebrate the Lord's Supper as if it will be the only time. Christ's Last Supper was how we commended ourselves as his followers. I believe that it is so important to celebrate the Lord's Supper, not merely to reenact it. What do I mean? Well, here in America, we celebrate birthdays with cake and gifts. We celebrate new jobs. We celebrate retirements. That's the end of the two ends of the story, right? Soon, Carrie and I will celebrate the birth of our first grandchild. We celebrate anniversaries. We celebrate Rose Bowl wins. Okay, they don't in Michigan very often. In Mount Pleasant, Michigan, we celebrate upset victories. Three times that we beat the Spartans, once we beat Purdue, once we beat Iowa, and once we beat Indiana, and once we beat Boston College. I mean, you probably don't really care. Okay, but we are exuberant when we celebrate those. In fact, my in-laws won't talk to me during football season because they're all Michigan State fans. And they're afraid that I'll bring that up. The only MAC school that's beaten Michigan State three times. I believe that we should celebrate the Lord's Supper. Celebrate it like one of those occasions. Celebrate the Lord's Supper as if we're standing about him minutes before the forces of evil showed up to arrest him, take him off to trial and crucifixion. Because at that moment that we became followers of Jesus Christ, and minutes later, it gave him the courage, because he was the Son of God. He knew how many millions would come to believe. Right now, by the way, there are about 2.8 billion Christians in the world. Most of them accept the Holy Meal as a sacrament. He had to know, because he was the Son of God, when they came to arrest him, that there were 2.8 million souls then and now who held him to be Son of God and believed in him. It gave him the courage to allow himself to be arrested, questioned, flogged, and crucified for us and for our salvation, and to unbar the gates of heaven. Yes, I think we should celebrate the Lord's Supper as if it were the first time. I think we should celebrate the Lord's Supper as if it were the last time. And I think we should celebrate the Lord's Supper each time we do, as if it'll be the only time. Of course, as I got to experience today, worship service is also filled with beautiful music. That was amazing. I particularly like the part where y'all pick songs. And Jimmy played it. That was amazing. I was trying to sing along, but you did pick a couple I'd never heard before. I hope you get a chance during coffee hour to meet all of you. Met a few. And I'll tell you, not because they're here to hear me say this, but because it's true. Your team, charged with finding your next pastor, asked me great questions. Both in the Zoom call last week and yesterday in the Red Room. And yet, they were able to do this and make me feel at ease during our meeting on Zoom and yesterday. You know, Zoom is a wonderful piece of technology. Beginning in March of 2020, because of COVID, I had to teach dozens of college classes in Zoom. And when the Episcopal Church commanded that no services should take place in person in November of 2020 until mid-April of 2021, I held worship services for the church that I'm currently at on Zoom every Sunday from 9:30 to about 10:15. And I preached 13 of those 14 weeks because I could only get one person who was willing to prepare and deliver a sermon other than me. So it was a good omen. In fact, let me amend. It was a great omen that my first contact with your team was on Zoom. And I want to thank your team for making that meeting feel comfortable. And yesterday's as well. I've had interviews that didn't give that feeling. Jimmy, where are you, Jimmy? There. Jimmy and I communicated about your music for today. And during that Zoom call, she actually asked if my wife was a soprano. And indeed, yes, she is. And in fact, at the little church in the Thumb of Michigan, we don't have organists and we don't have a piano player. You have both. Okay, what we have is a programmable piano and a gent who doesn't play the piano, but he programs it. He looks up in a book what songs are appropriate for that day, and he programs them in. And at least one out of the three every week is one that nobody knows except my wife. And so the piano starts to play, and she starts singing. And one by one, the members of the congregation join in. And by about the third verse, everybody's with her. Jenny? Give her a year, she'll be just like that here. As is my habit, I'd like to end my sermon with a prayer and to thank you for the opportunity to be here today. Heavenly Father, your beloved Son taught us that where two or three are gathered together in his name, you will be in the midst of them. Help us, Father, to lift one another up. Help us to love without ceasing, to pray without fear, to serve with an open heart and praise your name with all of our intellect. Help us to be bread to those around us as we serve in the name of your dear Son. We ask all this in the name of your dear Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, the Good Shepherd, and today, the bread of heaven. Amen. Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. And may God watch over us this coming week as we seek to show the light of the gospel in each of our lives. Amen.